is. I don't know where I am, dude. I don't know where I am.
Save all this for the actual podcast, because it's funny stuff.
Hello. We are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. It's episode 98. I'm Patrick.
98.
Thanks, Christopher. That's Christopher Schmaltz.
Hi there.
And there's Andrew Schmaltz, who's silent. Hi, Andrew Schmaltz.
I know, I'm here too. I'm 5x5.
He's the opposite.
Clear.
Silent.
And I am the hungover king, Patrick Schmaltz.
You're not a king.
I don't think this isn't the first time anyone on this podcast has done the podcast hungover. I've done the podcast hungover at least
not
once.
The first time.
I am king of the hangovers.
That's what happens when you get into your 30s. Hangovers just beat your ass.
We could unpack that statement to really talk about what that says about you. But we don't want to do that for our
why?
Our listeners.
Why would we want to do that? That's silly.
It would be boring as hell.
It would be boring as hell.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm Patrick Schmaltz. It's October 27th. I probably already said that. It's fine.
You already said that, my number
boy. This is going to be a next level episode.
Fantastic. This is going to be one of our best podcasts ever. It's going to rival episode 54.
Oh, yeah.
54. Yes.
54.
The best. Okay, so we're brothers for geeks. We talk about geeky things. I'm sorry, Mom, that I drank. I'm sorry.
Wait, Mom and Dad are at your house right now, Christopher?
Yes, they are visiting.
What?
Oh, I know. We need
wait,
to...
Wait, are they listening to this right now?
So go down to Tucson.
Yes, we do need to do this right now, because we're the Brothers Geek.
We are the Brothers Geek. If we don't have, like, 19,000 things...
Wait, are they staring at you right now?
No, they have now gone outside. Susan is leading them to the garage to show off her handiwork of the beginnings of clearing out the garage that she feels the need to do today.
All right. Everything's fine.
I'm not helping with that. I'm not coming down to Tucson to move furniture.
Andrew, we are putting you to work immediately.
I swear to God, I will... If I have to move one piece of furniture today, I'm just going to come back home. Don't ask me to do that shit.
It's not happening. It's not happening.
Yeah, thank you very much.
This is fantastic.
Yeah,
Patrick,
because of taking
you,
Patrick,
you've been on a show
you,
for like
Patrick,
the past
your
like, 4 weeks or something, haven't you? You've been working steady.
Why
right?
am I a dumbass?
Yeah.
What did I do? What?
Over.
What?
And hosting the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm a dumbass.
Fill us in on all things Patrick and the making of art.
What have you been doing?
I'm working on a television show called Trinkets. I can't say much because I've signed an NDA. We're currently filming it. We're 2 weeks into our 10-week
shoot. As
your
lawyer, I would advise you to follow the terms of your NDA.
I don't have it handy right now. I signed it and then turned it in, so I could read it to you. But
always keep a copy.
You're paying a copy of it, dude.
I don't have a copy. No,
dude, go to the production office and get a copy.
I can get a copy. You both relax. Jesus Christ, I'm just not going to talk about it. That's fine.
Worst client in the world,
pretty much. Yeah,
we're friends with
the
stars of the show yet. That's the question.
I am. Slowly but surely becoming friends with the main actress, Brianna. What's her last name? Hilden? That's probably a good thing to know.
Yeah. Who the star of the show you're working on?
I just call her Brianna. I don't know her last name.
The geek world will know her as Negasonic Teenage Warhead from the Deadpool movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
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 Oh, that's
she's
awesome.
Legit, dude.
She's legit.
She's dope.
She's really nice too, Brianna Hildebrand. Yeah, Hildebrand.
I like her a lot.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, she's great.
She's a
tiny Deadpool.
She's a tiny little person. Like I thought she was taller, and she is like 5 foot.
Oh wow!
She's like so tiny, but yeah, she's super nice, and we I've had conversations with her. She's great. So. That I mean,
does she have any specific dietary requirements for you as the crafty person? Need
no,
to
she's very. I don't want to say like she's pretty straightforward. She likes everything.
She omnivorous.
Yeah, she likes the gluten. She likes the meat. She likes the cheese.
You don't have to tell
term
who.
Omnivorous.
Omnivorous.
Thanks, Christopher.
She'll eat anything.
Thanks. Yeah.
Have you experienced working as a crafty on various film sets? Have you experienced an extremely high maintenance talent who has made demands that you kind of like
specific
needs and desires?
Not really.
Like all the brown M&Ms separate from all the green.
Not to that extreme. I worked on librarians, and I'm not going to say who, but there was a actor on that was kind of difficult. A few of them were difficult, actually, but not bad. Not super bad. Just. You know, kind of difficult, kind of like things their own way. I have, you know, what's funny is I've ran into more like above the line people that are more difficult. And I don't know if you know that term, but that's like producers and directors and, you know,
what line are you? What does that refer to? When you say above the line, explain that phrase for our listeners, Patrick.
It's kind of like, I don't really know exactly, but from what I've gleaned, it means the below the line people are the guys who really receive a paycheck. That's like they're working hours, they turn in a time card, you know, they're making like this much an hour. Above the line people, they're like they get like money. They don't get like a paycheck. Oh yeah, for filming, you're not turning in a time. The director's not turning in a time card. You know, they're turning in, and they get
maybe like contract employees versus like people who.
But there's like five of them.
People who,
There's like five of them. It's above the line, below the line. So okay. I'm a below the line. I turn in a time card. I get a paycheck, but like the director, not on this show. Yeah, probably on this show, but. She just gets a flat, like, here's $100,000, make the show. That's an above the line person. Like, and it's usually like the crew below the line joke about it like it's the guys above the line making tons of money. Like, oh yeah, they buy drinks for everybody when we go out, that kind of thing, because they're above the line. Yeah, that kind of
thing. So it's like management and not management.
Correct. Yeah, but
to put it in corporate terms.
Yeah, but it's like extreme. It's like it's like these guys are grunts making like, and these guys are like, they're making money on this show. They're actually like, this is like a substantial payout.
Gotcha.
Okay. So I mean,
the line people that were high maintenance.
Oh, yeah. Very picky about what they want and specific things that they like.
They need a specific kind of caffeine-free diet soda.
Yeah, they need a specific kind. It's not even like that, Andrew. It's like, I want this specific glass bottle water.
Ah.
I want this certain kind of tea.
That's not unique to your world, Patrick, because I had a partner in my old law firm who, whenever we went to lunch, she specifically had to have Voss water.
Yeah.
Have you ever had Voss water? It comes in the beautiful glass.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's awesome.
She always ordered Voss water with her lunch. She was very particular about it, and she would go back and forth between sparkling and still.
We exist in a time where you can have whatever you want anytime.
Well,
any
day. I have a story like this too. When I used to work catering in college, we would do the skyboxes for the U of A football teams, right? During the games. Like, so there would be, you know, alumni who had, you know, certain kind of, you know, loge privileges or whatever, and then there was the president's skybox, which was like, you know, the president's invited guests or whatever, and it was like 100 people on a skybox at the stadium for the home games. And the president's wife would only drink one kind of caffeine-free diet soda, and it was Diet Coke. And the University of Arizona had a Pepsi contract at the time. So there was no Coke products anywhere on campus. And we didn't even stock them in, like, the main student union, like, catering department didn't stock them because Pepsi was our distributor, right? So as a delivery driver in college, I would have to drive to like one Safeway
for that one person
Tucson, yeah, and buy like a case of caffeine free Diet Coke for every home game because the president of the university's wife specifically requested it.
Well,
I love working catering. Catering is so fun.
Well, working craft services is like fun because like you literally you get whatever they want. Like,
yeah,
you know, if a Joe Schmo, you know, Joe Schmo Grip likes this one kind of like soda, we get that for him too. Like, because that's kind of like crafty we do, you know, it's, yeah, it's like that
how big,
guy.
How big of a production is this? How many people are on set?
It's pretty small. It's pretty small. I mean, like it's about normal for Portland, I'd say. It's about 100 people. Okay. It's not Timmy Failure was
so
the biggest.
This is a Netflix show.
It's
that
a Netflix
is,
show. Yeah.
Slated to come out to Netflix next year.
Yeah, probably next year. I mean, it's we're gonna finish filming December 20th. So I would imagine next year. Yeah.
And then you're getting on a plane and flying to.
And then I'm
Phoenix,
getting on
probably.
A plane and I'm flying to Phoenix and then we're gonna record.
Yeah. When do you land in Phoenix?
23rd. Yeah. 23rd, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then do you fly back out on like New Year's Eve or something?
I fly back out the 30th. The day after Mom and Dad's 50th wedding anniversary, our parents' 50th.
That party, big party that we're
we were talking about that last night.
I'll probably be hungover on that plane too.
Yes. Woo! I'll be hungover in my apartment on the 30th.
Yes.
I'm excited about that.
Yes.
It's going to be a fun party.
It's going to be fun. We're going to have live music. We're going to have drinks. We're going to have dancing.
We're going to have food.
We're going to celebrate our family and our parents.
Rachel and Ryan are coming.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I haven't seen Rachel since I was 16.
It's going to be a reunion for sure.
Definitely going to be like a mini reunion. I remember going to, was it Grandma and Grandpa Schmaltz? That did the 50th?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yes. At that, like, bar in that hotel in Minneapolis.
That
yeah.
was crazy. I remember that, and I was like 13. I was drinking sodas
I was sitting
at the bar with Lon drinking Cherry Cokes, and he was drinking beer.
Dude, it's going to be – Lon and Marge are going to be there.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Lisa and Kylan are going to be there. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Really, really not that interesting to our listeners probably, but it's fine.
Dude, they love hearing about us.
Wait a second. Wait a second. Mom, Dad, and Kristen, that's it. So never mind. so what
– know us.
What are we watching, guys? Like,
did everybody watch Daredevil season 3?
I haven't watched Daredevil.
I have not finished with Daredevil.
I have finished it.
I haven't.
And
even
I love it.
I have. Oh, okay. Tell us, Andrew. Sell me on it. Let's go.
High quality. I mean, what we love about Daredevil season 1, season 2, kind of a mixed bag for me. I mean, I love the Punisher. Mm-hmm. Elektra didn't really work for me in
Daredevil
season 2.
Oh,
I
wow.
liked her. Yeah. I got tired of the story after a while, to be
honest. I liked Elektra. She was good.
I
liked season
the
2 was...
I just didn't like the arc that they built with her
is
over
it,
that season.
Is it,
I don't know.
I'm in episode 1 right now, and it's boring as shit, and I'm annoyed by the show already.
Let it build, dude.
I hate the angsty bullshit that we have to sort of slog through with Daredevil.
Let it build. Calm down.
It's honestly... I'm so annoyed by the first episode. Drives me crazy.
You want happy, smiling superheroes? Is that what you want? That's never been Daredevil, dude. He's never been a happy, smiley superhero.
Seriously, so self-serious. Like, stop. Anytime you reference Job, you lose me. Sorry.
That's not going to stop.
He's Catholic.
Go on and on. He's
dude,
Catholic. Like
he's
deeply.
Catholic. He's a Catholic
he's
dude.
In a Catholic orphanage.
Yeah, he's Matt
so
Murdock,
what,
bro.
Dude?
Daredevil. It's kind
Save
of his thing.
Life.
It's kind of his thing.
Be sad. You're alive. Be happy. You're alive and live. Give me a break.
Yeah, you have a job and you have friends.
Have a job.
You're not his dead.
The love of his life.
You
just
have
died in a building collapse.
Oh yeah. I don't.
He's had injuries that affect his ability to be Daredevil.
God,
he's struggling.
Dude, so
let him
painful.
Struggle. God.
I don't like that. I guess it's
How
it's
long
like,
does that last, Andrew?
I'm not telling you. Watch it. If you either don't watch it or watch it, I'm not giving any information.
Fuck.
I'm just telling you that I liked it.
If you want fun, smiling craziness, just watch Legends of Tomorrow, because that's back. Because they
Deadpool.
Like... Yeah, you can watch Deadpool, but that's like a darker... That's a little darker comedy. Legends of Tomorrow is like ridiculous, and that's back, and that has.
Are you watching the CW shows again, Patrick?
I'm watching the. I've watched the first episode of everything: Supergirl, yeah. Flash, whoa. and Legends. I haven't watched Arrow because I don't give a fuck about Arrow. But
dude, I am.
I'm gonna watch the crossover.
I'll watch the crossover 100%.
I'm going to watch the crossover.
Grant Gustin,
dude, they have been pumping that crossover like crazy on their Instagrams. Yeah, they are.
Stephen Amell just dick rides everybody.
Well, it's like.
Because he loves all the other casts.
Like,
so
part of me. Right. Part of me is like, are you promoting the show or are you posting real posts? Like,
I wish he's promoting the show. Don't be a fool.
It's not, man. I want people to like. I want people to like do a normal thing and like post pictures and like be
if
a per-
you're genuine. I
right,
have no
right.
doubt.
Be genuine. Be genuine. But like, man, I don't know if it's probably promoting. Like it's like, of course it is. Yeah, yeah.
Sure. He wants the show to be watched.
It's true.
I think it's totally genuine that he actually really enjoys making a show and he likes his castmates.
He seems like a genuine dude. He seems like a genuine person that actually likes it. So
yeah.
I'm excited about that. Flash is kind of been silly lately because they like have her future daughter like in the show, and that's kind of bizarre.
I saw that, and I actually love that actress.
She's on
a show called
Who's
Black
future
Sails.
Daughter?
So Flash married Iris West last season,
and then the end of the
last season, the last episode, their daughter from 2049 shows up. Because she's a speedster too, and she can travel through time, and she messed something up, so the timeline screwed up. So this season is about her being there, and 2049 being messed up, and them trying to fix it. That's this season's like. Plus there's like a dude.
Sounds like a totally original idea that's never been touched on before.
Not in comics, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Time travel, adjusting timelines,
adjusting,
you know,
screwing up timelines, having to fix timelines.
That's like the Flash's thing, dude. That's like,
over the last like 10 years, 15 years since Geoff Johns has really kind of been the driving creative force on the Flash. Time travel has been like everything,
and they pulled
in the comics, so Flashpoint, where
you don't like it. What's your thoughts, Christopher? You think it's lame?
Yes, they're
What's
out of ideas.
Christopher, can you be more negative this morning about anything?
I'm hungover and Chris is
negative.
Try that.
Wait for it.
We've been waiting 98 episodes for positive
at precise moments, dude.
Negativity at precise moments.
I'm a ninja about negativity. So
great statement.
I want
a shirt that says Negativity Ninja. That would be awesome.
We need to make it.
That should be like a merch thing.
Somebody who's listening, please make that for me and send it to me. I take large.
Negativity Ninja.
And you just have like
make sure
a
dry fit.
You just have a ninja looking at you, and he's like got the thumbs down.
On my Negativity Ninja shirt.
Thumbs down.
Make sure it's in the type of fabric I can run in.
Chafing. Chris is running a half marathon tomorrow.
What? You're running a half marathon? I'm so envious. I haven't ran at all because I've been on this show working a billion hours.
Don't be that envious, because my training has been very much derailed by an Achilles injury.
Oh, no.
And so I am running this half marathon very unprepared.
Ah.
So, yeah.
It's going to be a struggle, I think, tomorrow.
I see.
It's it's gonna be, my mindset is low and slow.
You know what I've been watching a lot of lately is I've been rewatching Star Trek Next Generation again because like I come home and I just want some like popcorn show to like fall.
Season one is almost unwatchable. But
season one,
that show really takes off.
I have been rewatching
that was
season one.
Still, like direct involvement in the show. He like they were doing like unproduced scripts from his like run.
Dude,
like he wrote some of the shit.
I've been rewatching season one, and it's hilarious. It's so bad.
It is hilarious because of how bad it is.
It's so goofy.
And knowing I'm a
it's
huge fan,
so goofy.
I've watched season one, I don't know, multiple times now,
and the costumes are
and
goofy.
And I slog my way through it, and I enjoy it for its terribleness. I mean, it is painful.
It is.
Some episodes are freaking painful.
It is so painful. It's hilarious, though. It's like. And like watching
we can talk. We never really did. We bring up the fact that they're gonna produce like a Picard show for CBS.
I love him, and I'm psyched about.
Is he involved in Discovery, or is this a separate entity?
It's a totally separate entity. It's gonna focus
That's
on
fine.
Picard.
I'm totally happy with that. Because
yeah,
I don't want
more Patrick Stewart as Picard.
I did not even watch the second part of Discovery because that was not Star Trek, and I'm hoping they fix it. What's that show with Seth MacFarlane? That show is more Star Trek than The Orville. Yeah, that show is more Star Trek than this freaking Discovery. Like. We all hate each other.
Retcon bullshit.
Like, oh my god, it's
yeah.
This and I tweeted about this too.
You guys
too.
Are such fanboys. Dude.
Shut up.
You can't
shut up.
Even elect something exist on its own
I
for its own merits.
Okay. But like.
No, dude. No.
Just no.
What. The things that are Star Trek to me are, and I even tweeted.
I don't let you live on just your merits, so why should I be inconsistent about the rest of my life?
Oh my god!
Through line.
I tweeted about how my favorite Star Trek episodes are ones about just they're testing out a new engine on the Enterprise and things go awry. I like that kind of stuff. Not like it doesn't have to be like phaser fights and ship battles every freaking episode.
Right. Right. The best episodes in Next Generation are the ones that involve Picard living an entire lifetime because he touched a probe.
Yes.
And he learns how to play
legit.
A musical
There's
instrument
no
f- that, he
that
never
is
learned.
Legit the best episode.
There
of
are
Next
no
100%.
Phaser fights. There are no ship battles. They
it
never
about,
even they never even say drama. Freaking shields in that damn episode. Yeah. They just like he gets zapped by a probe and he wakes up on this other planet, and he spends a whole life, like, trying to figure out how to get back to the Enterprise.
Absorbing
this
planet,
he doesn't even,
and
like,
then accepting
I mean,
his fate. This
yes,
is, I mean, that's
he accepts
the,
his fate!
The beauty of that episode, he accepts the fact that, okay, if I'm trapped here, I'm gonna live here, I'm gonna embrace my family, I'm gonna live life to the fullest. He does all of that, he dies, and he wakes up on the Enterprise.
Well,
Think about
phenomenal
it
show.
In a much higher kind of like macro sci-fi level.
Yeah,
what better testament could there be for that species than to they sent this thing out into the universe?
That's
as
the point
an
of it.
Art
yeah, yeah,
of
yeah.
Their people's culture.
It is a beautiful.
And it finds a way to interact
the
with another species.
Epitome
so
of
live
what
life.
Star Trek is
because
about.
They knew exactly. that they knew they were gonna die, and
oh,
it,
exactly.
it's like they had to and. And, like, what's brilliant is, like, the whole episode he's on this planet, and then he's, like, this old man, and they shoot off this rocket, and he's watching the rocket.
He's part of the team that puts it together.
Right, right.
Exactly.
And then the wife turns, or the son turns to him and is like, you know, remember this, remember us, because, like, this, you know... This is the point.
Yeah,
this is the point of this. We designed this to do just this.
Exactly.
And then finally he snaps back. He's like, "Fuck, I'm Picard. Like, yep. I'm Jean-Luc Picard."
What season is that in, Patrick?
I don't
know. I have no idea.
Of memories. He has all of those memories of that separate life.
And he wakes
and
up.
He learns how to play
and
the little flute thingy.
He plays the flute. That's the flute episode. That's right.
And the flute exists for the rest of the series. You will see him randomly, like, with the flute, like, in his quarters, learning to play.
Is genius. Yeah, it's so good.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's absolutely one of my favorite episodes of TV ever.
I am looking it up to try to find. It's the 125th episode overall. That's helpful. Season 5, episode 25.
There you go.
Wow.
Season 5, 25. They used to make 25 episodes.
That was peak Next Generation. That stretch was peak Next Generation.
No,
they really sort of figured out what they were trying to do.
Dude, I'm looking forward to like the Borg episode, like the Borg crossover.
Yeah.
Borg, like
the Borg stuff is
like,
but that's the Borg stuff is less nuanced. I mean, it's much more black and white.
Right. No, yeah, but like,
the best episodes are a lot greater.
The episode afterwards where he like goes home and like talks to his brother is so good. Like him dealing with the fact that he was
he's
captured.
It's the post-traumatic
stress. Yeah, he's got trauma from being captured. Oh, dude, Star Trek is so good.
Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra.
That's a legit episode, too.
Love that episode.
Because you know, that's what's great about Star Trek. They both can speak English, but they use, like, syntax to describe things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Metaphor. And it's like,
well, they're not speaking English. The universal translator is translating what they're saying,
right,
into words that the humans can understand.
Those comments, they have no context and understand the references.
It's a beautiful idea.
It's like that high level examination. That kind
of
science fiction is fantastic. Blowing each other up and fighting each other on the bridge of a Klingon ship. That's not Star Trek, dude.
Hold on. I disagree with that, though. I really enjoyed like the war story that existed in Deep Space Nine in the later episodes.
Well, that
I think that
has even
a place in the Star Trek universe too.
But like, yes, I like that stuff too. But like with Deep Space Nine, there was like, let's say 20 episodes in a season, and like three of them were actual fights, and the rest was we're on the space station. They're off having a fight, and we're not involved, but we have to deal with it. Like, we are the epicenter. We are the epicenter of this.
After the Dominion invaded in Deep Space Nine, there was like two solid seasons that they were Captain Sisko was like leading the war effort. He was like directly involved with planning and attacks and stuff like that.
I love that the three of us can straight just geek out on Star Trek at like a snap.
We've been talking about it for 20 minutes.
Yeah, snap of it. Just like
awesome.
Just turn the
great.
Yeah, I love it. Are we watching any other new shows that we want to talk about? I mean, the CW shows are back. I'm watching those. I added Sabrina, the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina to my.
It just dropped on Netflix.
Netflix. I'm gonna watch Daredevil. I haven't watched it yet, but like I used to watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I had like a serious crush on what's her name?
Melissa Joan Hart.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah,
did.
I could see that.
I had a total
don't
crush.
Get a crush on dude, Kieran Shipka, dude. She's too young.
Well, yeah. Shut up.
She's like 16 in real life.
Yeah, I she is. So that's weird.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
But it's like a straight up horror show. I mean, Sabrina the Teenage Witch was like a teenage comedy.
Yeah,
this is like a horror show.
I read
show.
A synopsis of that show, and holy shit, that's dark stuff.
Is it dark? Yeah. It looks dark.
It's like the way that they describe it, it's like she's part of a group that is set to worship the Dark Lord.
Yeah.
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 And she has to straddle both worlds of
dude, that show was
the Dark Lord.
That
and
was like a
sacrificing
sitcom comedy. Like, it was like
her and her like two wacky aunts
and the
cat.
The talking cat.
And all like the goofy magic they used to do to like and how she would get out of these situations.
It was a goofy show about magic, and now it's like dark.
Well, the synopsis actually got me to thinking, okay, I gotta check this out because that
give it a look.
Oh yeah. It's not like I just wanna watch it because I wanna compare it. compared, because when I watched that stuff, I was like, I was young. I was their target audience, you know? Mm-hmm. And now they're like revamping it and all these like, these, you know, they can't call them millennials. What's the next generation called? The people who are going to vote and change everything. That's what we're going to call
millennials. People who are 18 right now are still millennials.
That's
baby nightmares.
Baby nightmares.
That's for sure.
Anyways, they're watching this and they seem to like it, but like are the people who watch the original going to enjoy this? That's my question.
That's what remains to be seen.
Good question.
I mean, I'm a 35-year-old dude watching a teenage girl witch.
God damn,
if it's a good show, it's a good show.
Yeah.
If it's entertaining, it's entertaining.
You can't even talk, Christopher.
I can talk.
You're old as dirt. So, anyways. So that's what I'm doing. You guys watching anything else? Or should we move on to some redness?
I saw once off First Man in IMAX.
Oh yeah, yeah. What'd you think of that?
I thought it was awesome.
Has any of us seen Venom? None of us have seen Venom. It's supposed to be pretty good.
I've heard good things. I've heard it's entertaining.
I would like to go see it.
All right,
I haven't had or made the time to go see it.
Yeah, I haven't had the time or the drive. I was kind of lackluster reviews, and because it's not connected to the Marvel universe, and because there's no Spider-Man in it, that makes no sense to me. I don't like these villain movies. I don't like that they're making a Joker movie. I didn't like Suicide Squad. The whole Suicide Squad concept, don't like it.
I kind of liked Suicide Squad, actually.
Really?
But, yep, I did.
It seemed like a mess. It seemed like kind of a mess.
It is a mess.
Yeah, it's not...
I agree with you. The villains are not compelling.
Yeah, they should be compelling in the movie. In the superhero movie.
I could do a long-form essay on why I completely reject the idea of a Joker film.
Yeah.
And
everybody's excited to talk about the picture.
You should write the long form essay and post it to our website.
Wow.
Write this long form essay. I reject the concept out of hand. I don't even care if it's a good movie.
Like, the pictures are coming out of Joaquin Phoenix in the makeup, and it's like his origin story, so he's like becoming the Joker. But like, why? Like,
I don't even want to talk about it, dude.
Part of the allure of the Joker. You don't even want to know his origin story.
And you're the Batman guy. You're the Batman guy. You should be the most excited about this, and you're not. DC just doesn't get it. They just don't understand.
I mean, they've done something. I mean, dude, Wonder Woman was great.
And did you hear they pushed back Wonder Woman 1984 to 2020? Yeah, so it's they pushed back the Flash movie. Aquaman is coming out. I'm actually kind of excited for Aquaman.
Christmas time.
The footage I've seen of Aquaman looks like a goofy, fun movie, and
I'm about it, dude. The chase sequence where they're running along the rooftops.
That
looks dope.
That kind of sold me on it. I'm excited to see Aquaman now.
As long as the animation doesn't look like, or the CG doesn't look like some stuff that was in Justice League was a hot mess.
There are
moments in Justice League that are, oh god.
Yeah, like, it looks bad,
so
dude.
Clearly a video game, it looks terrible. So well, as long as they don't look like that, if they look like that, then I'm going to be unhappy about Aquaman. But
from what I've seen,
Aquaman
it doesn't look like
pulls
it.
Off the CG, yeah. And I think the story will be good. Momoa is compelling. I think all the elements are there.
Momoa in real life is compelling. He's a kind of a crazy guy. I like him. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a little off-center, and
he's a little off-center, but it's very entertaining to watch, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. So, that's that. So,
my next show, have you heard about the show called Bodyguard on Netflix?
Oh, yeah, it's starring
Richard Madden.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Formerly Rob Stark.
Game of Thrones,
Rob
right?
Stark, Game of Thrones fame, yes.
Little rumor about him is he might be the next Bond I'm seeing.
Oh,
that's in the water supply.
I could see that.
Yeah. I'm also watching, working my way through Fargo TV show.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on season three. That's, first two seasons are freaking brilliant. You need to watch it. Everyone needs
to
watch
it. Are you on the Hugh McGregor season yet?
Yes, that's season three.
Season three is like he's playing two characters, right?
He plays twin brothers.
Oh, my gosh. That's fun.
And it is darkly hilarious and awesome and quirky.
As all Fargo should be.
Everything you want Fargo to be. First two seasons have been exactly that. It's wonderful. Wonderful show.
Yeah. That's all awesome. Right. Red, is anybody reading anything of note, consequence, they want to talk about?
Monstrous Volume 3 is out.
Oh, yeah, so I haven't read it. Dang it.
Absolutely must read that. I highly recommend that series. It is one of the best things out there right now in terms of
the art in that book is so good. It's incredible. It's really good. I
picked up Hawkman.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I have like the first four episodes of Hawkman.
Yeah.
What intrigued me was the description of it is like he's this intellectual sort of archaeologist, sort of solver of history puzzles, that kind of thing, and I love that framing of the character like that. And the first few episodes are him focusing on himself and all his past lives and sorting through, sort of figuring out all of his previous lives, where that leads him. And he's been really good.
Hawkman
so far.
Always seemed kind of like DC's low rent Thor. He's kind of like, he has this character with like this past, and it's like,
yeah, the only reason why I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
The only reason why I was compelled to buy it and check it out was that description of this. He's an intellectual. He has intellectual curiosity. He's a problem solver. He's also an investigator of history. And so he's putting all of those talents into figuring his own existence out. I love that idea.
Well, the storyline in season one of Legends of Tomorrow is like Hawkman, Hawkgirl, Hawkwoman. It was kind of boring, to be honest. And I don't know if they did the character justice, because he's like powerful. He can like hold his own against Superman in the comics. Like, because his powers are like magic based, and Superman
and
is vulnerable
whatever
to
whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, and he's like, yeah. So he's an interesting character, and I want to know more about him.
So I'm reading that. Yeah, it's pretty good. Oh, I just saw. Actually, I saw. I think I'm going to read the miniseries Deadpool versus Black Panther.
Oh,
interesting. Yeah. Okay.
That would be fun.
Deadpool does what Deadpool does and gets crosswise with Black Panther. And so there is a mini series of them fighting.
Cool. Hmm. Cool.
All right. And in conflict. And so I think I'm going to check that out as well.
Awesome. Awesome.
I just finished Foundation.
Oh, yeah. Man, you've been reading.
Classic science fiction. And I think I mentioned at the last time that I've started a new series. Hold on.
What have you been reading, Andrew, while we're waiting for Chris?
I'm reading book two of the First Law trilogy by Joe Abercrombie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How's that going?
It's going good. The characters are out in the world. There's like a quest team that is questing.
What is this?
What
is this? I missed it.
Reading book two of the First Law trilogy by Joe Abercrombie.
Oh, yeah, book two.
Got it.
Before they are hanged.
On book two. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there's like three separate storylines going on. There's our main character who is, you know, trying to defend this city from invaders, and he's very funny and witty. He hates everybody because he was the victim of torture for like 5 years, so he has a very dark outlook on the world. But he needs a reason to live, so he's made service to his king, like his main focus. So,
well, he's like a torturer in the first book,
yeah,
right?
He's part of the king's inquisition, which is main, but he essentially is kind of a cop, but he's supposed to seek out ferret out treason against the king and the government, but he's made service to the Union, which is the kingdom that he's part of, his like main focus in life, but he's also very, very cynical. He's very kind of darkly witty about an understanding of his role. Everyone views him as a monster, so he kind of, because he was this like champion swordsman and this hero soldier, and then he gets captured and tortured for years, so he's deformed and has like a leg that he limps around, and his teeth were knocked out, and he's scarred, and he doesn't have any of the physical kind of prowess that he used to, but he's still educated and smart. So everybody kind of views him with, you know, disdain because he's this cripple. So he essentially plays the role of this monstrous cripple, and he's very funny. But he does have kind of smatterings of kind of nobility, but he's generally kind of, he does whatever he can to achieve his goals. And, I like him as a character.
I started this and, I just haven't like committed to it. It seems good.
It's slow burn in book one. Book two, we've got that character doing his thing and defending this, you know, outpost or whatever, on orders from the king. And seeking out, you know, kind of traitorous people inside that city. And then there's this quest team that's, like, questing across wild lands. And they don't get along. And they kind of play on the tropes associated with, like, a quest team. And, like, these fantasy archetypes of this roguish kind of... this rogue kind of assassin character, this wizard character.
Oh, wow.
There's a barbarian character.
Yeah, like there's no magic. Like for where I'm at.
Oh, there's magic.
There's magic in this story? Okay.
Oh, there is. You know, yeah. There's one of the main characters is the first Magus, and he's not like a noble kind of like twinkle in his eye, Merlin or
He's black.
Gandalf character. He is arrogant and petulant. And he is hilarious, but he's also very, very powerful. And he has a goal that he wants to achieve, but you don't really like him very much because he's kind of an asshole. And he doesn't treat people with a lot of respect. He views people as kind of being
beneath. That makes sense. Like, I mean, this wizard.
It plays on the idea of kind of the fun, you know, kind of twinkle in his eye wizard that exists in fantasy a lot. This guy is not that at all.
Well,
he's bald and he's kind of tubby and doesn't have a long beard.
You rewatch the Lord of the Rings and Gandalf is kind of like, he says and does what he wants. You know, he kind of like.
He feels like he knows best all the time.
He feels like he knows best and he like. He like yells at people a lot. He especially yells at like
the
goofy hobbits who are like, "Come on, get your shit together!" You know, it's like it's like, and that's it's pretty. So like, if you're a wizard and you're powerful, and no one can like,
book.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying.
It seems
about halfway through it, so
I like it.
I'm digging on it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. The only thing I've been reading is a history of world cinema. In my off times, in between doing crafty stuff, so that's pretty much all I've been reading. But I went to a comic book shop to pick up Monstrous Volume 3. Christopher, what was the book that you ran to go find?
It's called The Fifth Season, N.K. Jemisin. I think I mentioned it the last podcast. This is the author who has won the Hugo Award for each of the books in her trilogy
three years
in a row.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
The fifth season is book one, and it's fantastic so far. It's fantastic. So I can see why she won the Hugo Award 3 years in a row. I can't wait to work my way through the all three books. And I also just started listening on Audible, this book called The Passage. It was triggered by an ad. I guess they're making it into a TV show. Have you seen this?
No. No.
I think I have, yeah.
The first book in a series is called The Passage, and it's a really interesting, you know, some standard themes that have been touched on before, but the premise is apocalypse happens by human beings, and you know, the government testing some things from the Brazilian rainforest that basically turns people into vampire-like creatures, and then ultimately it is determined that they were testing these materials because some people were cured of cancer, and not just cured of cancer, but they became like superhuman.
Oh, whoa.
And but they eventually these people that had their first interaction with this stuff, they eventually died after a couple months, and so government tries to sort of, of course, for military purposes, tries to figure out what this is and how to adapt it for military use. Turns out that it turns people into these vampire-like things, and then the whole world goes to shit. And then the story is about this young girl who seems to have the physiology or whatever where she becomes superhuman and becomes sort of the holder of the cure, or the patient zero for solving the problem. And so the story is about her and her protector trying to get from point A to point B. It has a lot of the Stand elements.
Yeah, this is
the
protector
is
played by
like
Mark Paul Gosselaar from Saved by the Bell.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, so
wow.
What channel is this on?
I saw the preview for it. It's like TNT or TBS or something,
right?
All right.
I think it's NBC, actually, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Check.
I'll look it up.
So
it doesn't start till January.
Anyway, that triggered me to ask about it because it sounded interesting. And turns out that it's a series of books, and the book sounded cool. And I'm listening to
that
the passage,
cool.
And it's really – the pacing is great.
Yeah.
The nice. Writing is good, so it's compelling right now. So
I might have to add that to
it's
my
gonna
Audible
It's
going to
be on Fox, and it premieres January 14th.
So it'll get, if it's any good, it'll just get canceled. So –
That's harsh.
Exactly. You're not wrong.
If it's terrible, it'll go for five seasons. I'm looking at you, Gotham.
That's ubiquitous.
Anyway,
so let's talk about some video games because I have some stuff to say.
Yes.
Okay. We were going to try to keep this to an hour. That didn't happen.
Well, we're still under. Andrew, relax. Okay. Andrew, Christopher,
yeah.
You've been playing Destiny. There's this like Halloween thing going on right now with Destiny.
Awesome.
Tell me about it. Tell me.
Festival of the Lost. Christopher has played through and achieved the special weapon for this particular.
I have. It is.
Did you spend in the Haunted Forest, brother?
Oh, I probably did. I don't know, 10 to 15 runs through the Haunted Forest.
And each one is 15 minutes?
Each one is 15 minutes. And it is a... It's a really clever idea that they should hold on to and continue in terms of content, because each... You have... is a 15-minute timer... You go into the Infinite Forest. It's all dark and spooky and Halloween-y, right? And mm-hmm. Your goal is to work your way through that branch that you just entered into, vanquishing enough of your enemies in order to trigger – to get to 100%. When you get to 100%, you are immediately transported to the arena where the boss is – boss and ads, and then you have to take down the boss, and when you take down the boss, you move on to the next branch, level 2. And each successive branch becomes harder and harder. The opponents become more difficult.
There's different modifiers. How deep does it – how many branches are there?
As 13, many as you
12
can complete.
Or 13,
oh, whoa. Wow, that's insane.
Yes. So the
what's
highest
the highest branch you've gotten
branch
to in your runs,
six?
Christopher?
Six?
I've completed branch 6.
Yeah.
Highest level people who are playing it I've seen get to the end of 7.
Oh, wow.
There's probably others who have gone beyond that. I have gotten to 6. And the festival is, you know, you have to wear a mask when you do this. And so that softens you up a little bit. You can't wear your normal gear. And you get a special currency that drops. And so depending on how deep in you get, if you get to branch level 6 and kill the boss after the timer – when the timer runs out, you get to finish the branch you're in. Mm-hmm. And so you finish – if say you finish level 6, you get 6 pieces of this new currency plus another one for finishing. So you get on average between 5 and 7 pieces of currency per run. And then there are dailies where it gives you a single – daily bounties where it gives you a single piece of currency. And mm-hmm. so by that math, you can see how – and the masks are 20 to 30 to 40 pieces of currency. And the special 600 power level weapon – that is set at 600 costs 120 tokens.
Nice. They want you
and
to grind
so
it out.
The weekly bounty yeah. gives you 40 of those tokens. And so and the weekly bounty requires you to finish 15 daily bounties. So I worked my way through the daily bounties. I completed the weekly bounty. I still needed to do a couple more runs in order to get my 120 tokens, and then I got that, and I bought the 600 level weapon, and that jumped my power level up at least 12 points.
Nice.
Nice. So, yeah. Oh, wow.
So
12.
I'm approaching 550 now power level.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, yep. It was great. It's a really fun – it's a 3-man fire team. It's matchmaking, so you go in with randos. Like Andrew said, there are modifiers, harder branches. You get modifiers where you take more damage, or you take more damage when you jump, or they disable your radar, you know, mm-hmm. a variety of things like that. It's really fun. It's really fun, actually.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. I haven't played nearly as much as Chris, but everything he's saying, I agree with. They should keep it around and make it like a seasonal activity. I mean, they've got the Dawning or whatever coming out, you know, the seasonal activity that they could easily kind of make a similar activity for it, where they have – you can grind it out in, you know, some kind of successive waves of – for some kind of special seasonal weapon.
It's a concept, you know, that's you know, in Diablo 3. Remember, Patrick, Diablo 3
yeah,
where
people
go into rifts, greater rifts.
Right.
And,
people have been talking about rifts. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's same kind of deal. It's same kind of deal where it's hard. It gets harder and harder as you go, and I love that.
I didn't even make the connection, but this company is the same company that owns, like, it's all Activision. So
right.
Yeah,
so they're
yeah.
taking ideas from other stuff.
Yeah, they're taking ideas from other.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea.
No, I mean,
it's a really fun activity.
Diablo is, Blizzard Diablo is always like setting the standard for all these games. You know, so.
Yep.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Sounds like a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of fun.
I've been playing.
Know, the beauty is that I give that weapon to my warlock, and the warlock can level up, and her power level immediately jumps up, so her gear drops are all better as she's leveling up.
Totally.
The warlock, and so I will trade that 600 level gun all around in order to increase my eye level. Or power level continuously. It's great.
Totally. And yeah, the drops you get are better.
Better.
Because,
yeah.
Right.
They get incrementally better because your power level has jumped.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I've been playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Yeah.
Holy crap!
Fun.
That is so fun, dude.
I've seen videos of gameplay of that. It looks amazing,
and I love, dude. I love Greek mythology stuff and Greek history. Cool. Yeah. It's set like 430 BC during the Peloponnesian War. Sparta and Athens are at each other's throats, and it's, dude, you're like sailing around like. Ship battles, and there's this like cult that's like ruling like all of Athens and all of Sparta that you're like hunting down. Oh my god, the story is so good. The story and the writing are, and it's like an RPG. It's like the first RPG Assassin's Creed game, and I freaking love it. I am but you have to, like, this is a big game. Like, you will not start to scratch the story. I mean, I've played 30 plus hours probably, and I'm like level 20. I mean, I'm level 28 or so, so it's about an hour a level, and it's 50, but you can't kill the last guy unless you're 50. Like, the story goes from 1 to 50. You can't just, like...
Wow.
Right, you can't just, like, burn through the story, you know, in a few hours. To play all the thing and play all the content, you have to play the whole game. You have to go... That's cool. And I like that. I like that, like, there's always something for me to do. I cannot complete the game without getting to max level. Which is kind of, I kind of like it. Instead of like, oh yeah, the main story's 10 hours long, but then there's all this grind afterwards. That's Destiny. You know, that's Diablo. That's all these other games. But like, you have to get to 50 to finish the story. So, I love it, dude. It's so much fun and it's so beautiful, and you're running around as a Spartan hero, and there's all this, like, references to, like, you know, 300 and Leonidas, and, like, I'm gonna rewatch 300 because it's making me want to watch it. I put on, like, Troy last night, like, after I was done playing, because it's, like, it's that time. It's that, like, you know, sandals and swords
and sandals.
Yeah, and, like, yeah. Shields, and, like, all the helmets are so much fun. Oh, my God. Dude, it's I'm having so much fun with that game, seriously.
That's dope.
I wish I could just play it like crazy, but, you know, work and money.
You can't no longer because you have a job.
Yeah, I need money. I need money to survive. So,
yep.
It's an unfortunate
reality of life.
Yeah, so I've been playing, you know, now my other buddy got, I wish it had multiplayer. Some of the Assassin's Creed's, like Black Flag and Unity, I think, have multiplayer, but it's fine, single player stuff. I'm probably gonna get,
I've heard negative things though about Assassin's Creed multiplayer. Sometimes it can be really glitchy.
Yeah, well, Ubisoft has kind of, like, you know, their track record is not good. They had a couple of games that they came out with that were like real bad and had a lot of problems with it. Real glitchy, real crashy. I mean, this game seems fine. It's crashed on me a couple of times, just like frozen up, but nothing like over the top.
All right. That's good. You know,
graphical badness. There's like which one of those. I don't think it was Unity, but one of them was like really bad. Like, people's faces were disappearing and they just had like eyeballs and a mouth.
Yeah, I think that might have been the one that was set in Paris. That might have been Unity, where it was just like, it was glitchy as hell. Like,
dude,
they couldn't figure out how to work it all together.
Like, you would run up a wall and like pass through into the building. Like, there was like the wall was like.
The
mechanics were screwed up in that game, but, you know, I think they learned from their mistakes and they've, you know, they've improved on it for sure. No, I love it, dude.
You want to play it right now?
I want to play it right now. Like, that's how much I'm like obsessed with it. But I'm gonna go back to sleep, I think.
I'm gonna get on the road and drive to Tucson.
Yeah. Speaking of that, Andrew, do you have any trivia for us?
I do have a trivia question for you, and this is a gentle reminder that I think we all need to buy this thing. So, Batman: The Complete Animated Series Deluxe Limited Edition box set.
Yeah,
so good.
Drops.
Going to be on many Christmas lists.
Ooh, yes.
Well, here's the thing: demand was so overwhelming that it's sold out and they have to reissue a run.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, trivia question is
one of the best cartoons, like,
easily
ever.
One of the best cartoons ever.
I used to watch that. Yeah.
Yeah. The original run that they were going to do for this limited edition box set was 30,000 box sets.
Okay.
Which doesn't sound like nearly enough.
Yeah.
So what is the new number of box sets that they're going to run to meet the demand that they're estimating for this limited edition Batman, the complete animated series? What? I will give you options. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah.
Okay. Is it 70,000?
Okay.
100,000? 200,000? Or 1,000,000?
Ooh.
Units.
I feel like it can't be 1,000,000, because like that seems like too much.
Before you started going through the list, my mind coalesced around 100,000, so I'm going to go with that number. 100,000.
I will just divert from him, because I was thinking 100,000 too, but I'm going to say what are the numbers? 200,000. I'll say 200,000 just to be different.
Okay, I think you guys are maybe overestimating a little bit, but the original run was going to be 30.
Yeah.
The new sources that I'm reading from Collider.com indicates that they're going to reissue another 70,000.
It'll be 100,000 total. So Chris is right.
100,000 units total, but they're going. So think about that. They were going to do 30,000.
Yeah.
And now they're going to more than triple.
What's the timing? Estimated. Do you know sales. The timing? Because I need to pay attention to that. I need to acquire this.
Yeah, this is a good series.
It's a good question. It should be out right now.
That was a good series, and
if you're worried about getting your hands on a copy of the Batman, blah, 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 you've got good news. The Warner Bros. Home Entertainment has increased its run of the beloved series to 70,000 to accommodate overwhelming demand. The new edition offers a really set aside for the remaster. The set retails for $112.99,
wow,
and will it be available on October 30th, 2018.
So, like 3 days.
Yeah, next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
So if you buy it on Amazon on Tuesday, we'll see if we can get it before Christmas.
Well, yeah, because, you know, yeah, you'll probably have to wait for them to actually, like, make more. But it's $120-something dollars? Because it's the whole series.
The whole series, every episode.
Wow, that's awesome.
And then it has lots of special features.
I actually, like, watched that when I was, like, a kid, and I loved it.
Oh, dude. It came out in the early 90s, after the original Batman dropped, the Tim Burton Batman. Like,
yeah.
Tim Burton Batman was like 1989, and then this series came out in like 1992. Dude, I watched this show every day after school. I was like 12, 13 years old. I consumed this show. It was so awesome.
I used to watch that and Gargoyles.
Gargoyles was a little later, though. I was in high school when Gargoyles came out.
Really?
So I was like 16.
Dude, Gargoyles was dope. And then eventually, like, Superman came out, and then eventually they did Justice League.
And it's all started from the Batman.
Because Batman was so good, right? You know, And then, oh man, I wonder if Mask of the Phantasm is included in that. Probably not. That's a really good.
No, it is.
What?
The set comes with here. What? I'll give you the special features.
Yeah.
And that'll, so it's
dude. That's such a good movie.
What you can expect from the deluxe limited edition.
Yeah.
The set includes all episodes of the classic superhero cartoon, including 11 specifically selected episodes with audio commentary by the cast and crew, a 90-minute documentary about the making of the animated series, 3 Funko mini figurines, Batman, Joker, and Harley Quinn.
Awesome.
7 lenticular art cards, L-E-N-T-I-C-U-L-E-R, lenticular. The set comes in a full flat, a lay flat book, and also comes with a digital copy of all 109 episodes. In addition, the set contains 2 bonus discs with recently remastered animated favorites, Batman Mask of Phantasm and Batman and Mr. Freeze Sub-Zero.
Oh, yeah, that was good, too. Yeah, dude,
dope.
That's a legit set.
For $120, dude.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Dude, that's worth. Dude, that's I worth want money. That. I want that so much.
Yep.
Oh my god, that's. I would binge the crap out of that.
We gotta wrap this up. I gotta get on the road.
All right. If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. You should email the show brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com for questions, comments, all those things. You should follow us on Twitter, brothers_geek@twitter.com, and Brothers Geek Podcast on Facebook, and brothersgeek.com. All those things. Thanks for listening.
2 things.
What?
Vote. Be curious. Obviously,
yes.
Always
yes.
Be curious.
Yes.
And vote.
Freaking vote. Jesus.
Election day is November 6th.
November 6th.
Go vote. Your bosses have to let you vote. They will give you time to go vote. They can't tell you you have to work. They have to give you time under the law. Right, Christopher?
Vote, yes.
You can take time from work to vote.
Thank you.
All right.